Each of you should go on living according to the Lord's gift to you, and as you were when God called you. This is the rule I teach in all the churches. If a circumcised man has accepted God's call, he should not try to remove the marks of circumcision. If an uncircumcised man has accepted God's call, he should not get circumcised. For whether or not a man is circumcised means nothing. What matters is to obey God's commandments. Each of you should remain as you were when you accepted God's call. Were you a slave when God called you? Well, never mind, but if you have a chance to become free, use it. For a slave who is being called by the Lord is free for the Lord. In the same way, a free person who has been called by Christ is his slave. God bought you for a price, so do not become slaves of human beings. My friends, each of you should remain in fellowship with God in the same condition as you were when you were called.
Thank you, Claire. I'll just pray over Mike now. So, Heavenly Father, we just commit Mike to you now. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come upon him and anoint him. Pray, Lord, that you will place your words upon his lips. And we just ask that you would soften our hearts and our minds towards the things of God, that we would be open and expectant to hear you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, good morning, everyone. just do be thinking of who you can invite to that 20. We invited the various hall users that use the building throughout the week. We invited the builders, the architects, and so on, to come along, our trustees. Do be thinking who to invite and bring them along. It'll be a great service, and make sure it's in your diary, 7th of November, 10:30, usual time. Okay, we're continuing our series on problems and issues in the church, and we've looked in previous weeks. It's been quite a hard-hitting series as Paul is addressing issues and problems and immorality in the church at Corinth that he had planted a couple of years previously. And some of the things that we've looked at is that we're not to become like the world around us. The Corinthian church was increasingly becoming like the world around them instead of standing out as something different. Then we looked at church discipline, where a particular member in the church was committing adultery with his father's wife, and we looked at the whole area of discipline and why you should excommunicate somebody from church. A very rare thing, but we looked at the fact that if you don't, one bad apple can spoil the whole barrel. That sin has to be dealt with, otherwise it will just contaminate. It's like a cancer. If it's not cut out, it will just spread across the whole body and kill it. And last week we looked at the issue of holiness, singleness, and sexual immorality. And we looked at this whole area of sexual immorality, whether you're single, whether you're married, etc., etc. And this week we're going to be looking at blooming where you're planted. We thought we'd give you a break from a lot of the hard-hitting stuff thus far, and focus on something a little bit lighter, but no less important. And it's quite common for new believers in Jesus Christ to feel that they must do something drastic in order to follow Jesus. I don't know if that's true of you, but when I became a Christian, I thought, right, okay, what's God going to do now, you know? What's he going to do with me? Do I have to sell my house and just go to the far corners of the earth and serve him as some sort of missionary? Others determine they should become a pastor, a conference speaker, a stadium evangelist. Is this what God wants me to do? And these are noble and well-meaning thoughts. People want to do something great for God. It's a good thing. However, they all have the same problem in that they believe that truly serving the Lord requires some big change of job or circumstance in our lives. And Paul was telling us in this passage that we read that we do not need to make some big dramatic change in our lives in order to serve the Lord. You can and should serve him right now where you are, without any major changes in your employment or circumstances. Now let me just qualify that. Obviously, if your job or what you were involved in before you became a Christian, if your job was a thief or a prostitute or you were a drug dealer or a con man, etc., well then of course you'll need to walk away from that sort of employment. Anything immoral or illegal is to be left behind. That's obvious. However, for most people, we're not involved, or we don't come from that sort of background. For most people, when they become a Christian, they can continue in their current employment or circumstances, and that is to be their mission field. I remember when I used to be a street trader, I saw that as my mission field. And I used to strategize and think how I could reach people. I used to have flyers that I used to put in the bag. Everything that I sold, there was a flyer in every bag that I sold, a tract, a gospel tract, etc. And I determined that would be my mission field, witnessing to the other street traders around me, etc. And Paul says in verses 19 to 20, what matters is not whether or not you are circumcised, whether you're married, whether you're a slave or a free man, or what your age is, or what your status is, nationality. All of these are irrelevant, he says, in serving the Lord. What matters is that you follow the Lord right where you are. What is important is not your position or your circumstances, but your willingness to obey God and be used by him right where you are. That's all that matters. And if we obey God and say to him, okay, Lord, I'm willing to be used by you exactly where you have placed me. This is where I am. I may not actually want to be here, but this is where I am. You've placed me here at this time. How can you use me? How am I going to be used by you? And you'll find, as you do that, that God can use you right now in the place where you have been planted. God desires to use us in the workplace, in the classroom, in the business world, in the home, the restaurants that we work in, the banks, the hospitals, the care homes, at the school gates, in our neighborhoods. Where you are is no accident. God has strategically placed you there with your God-given personality and your God-given gifts to be a witness, to be an ambassador for him. And what God desires is that we serve and we obey him right where we are now. And these things, I just want to give you three things here that we need in order to follow God in this way. First, we have to submit to his will. It starts by realizing that God is in charge and he doesn't make mistakes. Therefore, God has placed us where we are for his purpose. God is a little bit, if you like a general who has positioned his troops to accomplish a great victory. And the foot soldier may not understand why he's risking his life to gain a hill that is in the middle of nowhere and just seems irrelevant. However, from the perspective of the general, that hill is key to winning the war. God has placed, God knows the outcome. I remember years ago when I first became a Christian and I was searching, I encountered this young guy who was witnessing to me. And he said to me, I forget how it came up, but he said to me that he signed up to go to college for a year in a college that he didn't want to go to, and a course that he didn't want to do, for a whole year. And he said he did it because it was so clear to him that God wanted him to do that course. And he spent a whole year at a college he didn't want to be, doing a course he didn't want to be, and he spent the whole, and throughout the whole year saying, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? What am I doing? I don't want to be here. I don't like this course. I hate this course. Why have you brought me here? Why? But he stuck it out because he knew that that's where the Lord had told him he should be. And on the last day at college, in the canteen, he sat next to somebody, started a conversation, told him he was a Christian, and he shared the gospel with that person on the last day and led that person to the Lord on his last day at college. And he said, then the penny dropped and I realized that was why God wanted me to be at that college doing that course throughout that year. He spent a whole year there, not knowing why, and on the last day he realized what he was there for. God has placed you right where he wants you to be. There is a reason that you are there. And he calls you to be faithful where you are. Maybe you work in a factory, a teacher, or an office, a restaurant, or healthcare. God wants you to be his witness, his ambassador in that place. And wherever you find yourself, it is no accident. God has placed you there to be his witness of grace, love, and compassion. And he calls you to pray for the salvation of those that you see every day. Do you know, I must have finished with the markets, 20 years ago, whatever. I still have on my list that I pray every week a whole list of names of street traders that I knew. And I pray for them every week still. Prayed for them while I was there. And I can sit 20 years on, and I'm still praying for them. He calls you to pray for the salvation of those you see every day. He wants you to look for opportunities to plant seeds of faith. God has called you in whatever work you do to do it well. Do your job well. Whatever you're doing, do it well, as though you're working for the Lord, the Bible says. And that will reflect on those around you, your employers and your colleagues. They will see that you're honoring, and they'll want to know what it is that makes you tick. It's a great witness. Do your job well, even if you don't like it. He has placed you there to be a beacon of light in your workplace, to love and to witness to your co-workers. Or maybe you're a mum and you say, or a dad, and you say, well, I'm not really working, it doesn't apply to me. Or I'm a mum and I'm a dad and I'm at home looking after the kids. Well, God wants you to teach your kids about how much he loves them. Use the extra time you have with them. He wants you to teach your children to love the word of God and to make decisions based on his word. That's your ministry. Or he wants you to minister to the other mums or dads you come into contact with, maybe at the school gate, or the teachers who influence your kids. The other parents you see all the time are your mission field. He wants you to build relationships with these people. He wants you to find ways to plant seeds of grace in their lives. Wherever God has placed you, he calls you to pray for the salvation of those you see every day, and he wants you to look for opportunities to plant seeds of faith. Or maybe you're retired and limited in what you can do. Perhaps God would have you use your time to write notes of encouragement to other people in the congregation or those around you. Maybe he wants you to devote yourself to prayer more. I remember there's one particular lady, elderly lady in this church, and almost weekly I will get a little email or a little WhatsApp message of encouragement or a prayer for me and my family. And I can't begin to tell you what an encouragement that is to me and makes me think, oh, it's worth doing what I'm doing, you know. Thank you, you know. It's such an encouragement. What a ministry she has. I haven't asked her to do it. She just does it off her own bat. What a ministry. God has a plan for each of us. And you're not too young and you're not too old to be used by him. Our job is not to argue with God over the things he has given us. Our job is to submit to him and do the job that he's given us. Secondly, if we're to follow God in this way, we need to depend on his grace. As we think about the jobs God has given us to do, it's often, sometimes it can be overwhelming. Like this guy who went to college and, he didn't want to do that. It was overwhelming for him. In those times, our job is to step out and trust that God in his grace will provide what we need. He will give you the courage that you need. He will give you the words to say. Someone has said, once said, and I really like this, that God doesn't call the equipped. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips those he calls. He equips those he called. So you need to understand that. God is not looking for gifted people he can use. Great, if you are gifted, of course he'll use you as you offer those gifts back to the Lord. That's a wonderful thing to do. But God is not, first and foremost, lifting for gifted people he can use. God is looking for willing people whom he can equip. That's first and foremost. You can be gifted but not willing to offer the Lord your gifts back in his service. If everybody did that, there'll be no gaps in church ministries. God is willing for willing people whom he can equip. Now, I know it's not always easy to witness for Jesus. Especially on a one-to-one, it's hard to start a conversation with someone about Christ. It's difficult to go against the tide of public opinion sometimes, to live your life against the grain of public opinion and values. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that he had learned a very valuable lesson in this. He learned that in those times, God's grace is sufficient for him. He discovered that when he felt the weakest and the most inadequate, but still tried to do what was right, those were the very times he was actually the strongest. In those times, he had to depend more fully on God's strength. And God's strength never, ever disappoints. So submit to God. Depend on God's grace when he calls you to step out. And thirdly and finally, we must seek in all circumstances to promote his glory. Point to him. The key to truly blooming where you have been planted is to remember that our job is not to promote ourselves, it's to promote God. That's your job, to promote God. Brother Lawrence, a monk called Brother Lawrence, there's a book, I haven't read it yet, I've bought it and I haven't read it, but I will, it's called Practicing the Presence of God. It's a classic book by Brother Lawrence, who was a monk who sought to glorify God in everything that he did, in the daily mundane stuff that he did. And Brother Lawrence was content to wash dishes to the glory of God. And I believe that God is honored more when we serve him in the shadows than when we serve him in the crowds. Because much of what we do publicly is designed to gain the praise of people. But what we do when no one else is looking is the true test of character and of faith. And the bottom line is, the true measure of faithfulness will not be what people say about us. The true measure of faithfulness will be how others view God because of us. That is the true measure of faithfulness. How others will view God because of you. It doesn't matter if no one knows our name, as long as they see Jesus in us. Most of you, hopefully, some have moved abroad now, and we can't get in touch with them, but at the 20-year celebration, hopefully there'll be a few of the original team coming along. None of you know who they are. Why should you? And it doesn't matter that you don't know who they are, because their job was to come in faithful obedience to plant Oakley and then bring glory to God. What matters is that God is continues to be glorified in this place and promoted. And when I retire and I'm gone, and people come in, no one will remember or know Mike Pavlou, and that's how it should be. Fantastic. But what should be carrying on and be important is that the promotion of the gospel and glory to Jesus Christ should be continuing. That's what matters. Not plaques on walls and, you know, memories of people down the line. That's what matters. Doesn't matter if we get credit. Doesn't matter if no one knows our name, as long as they see Jesus in us. It doesn't matter if we get credit for our work in this world. What matters is that God's glory is promoted. That's the bottom line. So this morning, the challenge and the word for us is, how are you doing? Are you blooming where God has planted you? Are you serving God where you are, or are you busy making excuses? And I want at this point to thank all of you who serve so faithfully in and for the church. And that's the vast majority of you. Vast majority of you. Thank you. Because in doing so, you're helping to reach people for Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. It may not feel that you are in what you do, but you are. And our church couldn't function without the scores of people who serve in simple ways in the shadows mainly every week. We have those in mini church, we have those in kids church, youth, those who come and clean, the hospitality teams, the PA, the worship, the ministry teams, fetching supplies, maintaining the building, those who pray, come and pray, those who financially support, those who extend pastoral care, who visit other members, who shop for them, who take them to doctor's appointments. There are those who faithfully send out notes of encouragement to others. And there are those who uphold others in fervent prayer, and so on and so on. It's wonderful. That's what the church is about. You are the church. You make it function. You make it work. But what about outside the church? Are you serving as a missionary where God has placed you? Or are you just standing on the sidelines and nobody even knows that you're a believer? Most of those who visit our church or church events and activities do so because somebody has invited them. Friendship evangelism. Most of the people who make a commitment to Jesus Christ do so not because of the persuasion of an evangelist, wonderful and valuable though that is, but mainly because of the influence of a friend, a co-worker, a family member who shared the gospel or their story in a simple way. This is what Jesus has done for me, and this is the difference he's made in my life. I'm just telling you, if you want me to introduce you to him, come along and I will. And then it's between you two. Friends, a war is only won if all the soldiers obey orders and fight the battles before them. We're all missionaries. We gather here every Sunday to be encouraged, to be built up, to immerse ourselves in the word, and then we go out into the battle zone. We go out, and our job then is to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, to reflect him and promote his glory and draw others to him. A sports team can only win a game if every team member plays their part in the team role that they have been given. You have, and if it's football, you have a goalie, you have defenders, you have midfielders, you have attackers. They all have to play their part. If the defenders don't, the whole team suffers. If the attackers don't, the whole team suffers. If the midfielders don't, there's a gap and the whole team suffers. Likewise, if we will serve faithfully right where we are, both inside and outside of the church, the kingdom of God will be advanced. So here's the challenge for us this week. Look around at your life. Notice the mission field that God has given to you. Maybe you've taken it for granted so far, but notice the mission field. Where are the opportunities? Ask yourself, how can I serve God in my present condition? Don't limit yourself to big things. Look for the little ways that you can show faithfulness. Look for ways you can plant seeds of grace. I remember a while back, one of our neighbours, I heard that one of our neighbours got burgled. I didn't know them, I'd never met them, but I heard that they got burgled. So I went over and knocked on their door and just gave them a card and just said, really sorry, I heard you got burgled. I'm really, really sorry. You know, here's a Sorry you got burgled card. I don't know what it was. And I said, if there's anything that we can do for you, if there's any help that we can do, that's fantastic. You know, please let us know, etc. Seeds of grace. What I didn't know was that those neighbours, the mother of that neighbour, was the mother of a very famous pop star. A very famous pop star. And a seed of grace. And they were just overwhelmed just by that simple act. And they came and told us that they were, told my wife actually, that they were, came and thanked us and said, you know, we think we may have been robbed because of memorabilia in the house that may be attached to the pop star. We didn't know that. But look for ways that you can plant the seeds of grace. Look for ways that you can honour the Lord. And once you have identified what you can, that it's from the Lord, take a step of faith and trust his wisdom and grace, and then get to work. Because God looks for willing people whom he will equip, to do what they do. Do you know what? When I stepped out, I was just willing. I didn't have a clue to do it. But I stepped out because I knew that the Lord was calling me. And my prayer and the deal was, all right, I'll step out, but you've got to do it because I haven't got a clue. That's the deal. And the Lord honours that sort of step of faith. So friends, let's just pray as we close now. I want to pray specifically this morning for those who feel that this word is connected with you this morning, and you've recognized that either you've missed the fact that you are in a mission field and that you've been looking for other ways that you may serve the Lord, and actually the Lord is saying, you're where I want you to be right now, at least for this moment in time. And I want to pray for those who are acknowledging that they have a mission field, but you're nervous, you're scared, and that's normal. And you want power and grace to witness for the Lord in the areas that he has placed you. That what you're saying to the Lord is, I'm willing, now will you equip me? And if you'd like me to pray for you right now around that, if you're willing and you want to be equipped, then can I just invite you where you are right now, just to stand up, symbolizing that you mean business with God. Lord, I'm willing to be used by you in wherever you have placed me. Now I ask that you will equip me. I'm going to pray a blanket prayer for you, and as I do that, I'm going to ask, who's the ministry team today? Where's the ministry team? Just for the ministry team, just to go around. Don't touch people, but just from a distance, just pray that God will just continue to pour out more of his power and grace. Just briefly, just go around and just extend the hand towards each person, praying that God will bless with more power, more grace to be witnesses. And I'm just going to pray a blanket prayer as you guys do that whilst you're doing that. Father, we want to thank you for your servants here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the willing hearts that they have to step out in faith and obedience, either in the places that you've already called them to or those that you have yet to do so. And Father, we thank you that your promise is that wherever you guide you always provide. And that what you're looking for are not incredibly gifted, well-equipped people. What you're looking for is a willing heart and a pair of hands and feet that says, here is my heart, I'm willing. Here are my hands, feel them. Here are my feet, where would you have me go? And Father, these your servants here have expressed that willingness this morning. So we ask that you come now by the power of your Holy Spirit and just anoint them with more power and more grace to be your witnesses on a daily basis, that they might bloom where you have planted them, and that Jesus Christ might be promoted and glorified through all that they do, through all that they say, and through their willing, obedient hearts. More power, Lord. More grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Continue to fill them. More of you, Lord. More of you. And Holy Spirit, we ask that on a daily basis that you will continue to show and reveal opportunities where these folk can witness for you. And as they step out in doing so in whatever way, that you will equip them by giving them the strength to do what it is that you ask, or giving them the words that they need to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord.